Some of you might want, after the service, just to come and look at that, feel a thorn, and just see something of the reality of what Jesus experienced for you and me. And thanks to Helen LeGeer for providing that today. We have a well-known hymn titled Near the Cross. We're not actually singing it today, but I want to draw your attention to that because most of us know it and have sung it. The first few words say, Jesus, keep me near the cross. And it's a wonderful expression of our hearts as we look back to the day that Jesus was crucified. It's wonderful when we're looking through the filter of the whole New Testament and we can look at it from that finished perspective. But if we had been in Jerusalem, in the confusion, in the horror, the agony, the danger of those hours, I wonder how close to the cross each one of us would have stood. You remember the night before when Jesus was arrested. Finally, all the disciples fled from Jesus and from the arrest. In these moments of meditation, I'm going to draw your attention to four of the people who are recorded as being near the cross. And they were mentioned in the scripture passage that Pastor Barry read in John 19. They were physically near, but in each of their lives, there was a spiritual nearness as well because of the journey that they had been on and all that had happened in their lives to bring them to that point of standing near the cross. I think that we'll find some connection there. Probably in all of us, in one way or another, we will identify with one of these people and something of their experience. And in our journey, perhaps today, we'll be drawn near to the cross in a deeper way, in a new way than ever before. Scripture tells us that Mary Magdalene was near the cross. For her, being near the cross was a place of redemption. The Gospel of Luke tells us that she had been in bondage to Satan through seven demons that possessed her. Her life was being ripped up by those demons. It was being destroyed physically, emotionally, spiritually. She was in a hopeless situation. But then Jesus came, and he cast out those demons. She went from bondage to Satan to freedom in Jesus Christ. She was brought back into a life that all of us would aspire to, where we can be free to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, where we can be free to pursue God and to live out our life in fulfillment and purpose. She was free, but as she stood near the cross, the price was now being paid for her freedom. Acts 26, verse 18 reads, in Jesus communicating purpose, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins. When a person trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ to pay the price for sins, a person goes from darkness to light. Mental, moral, spiritual light and freedom. The scales fall from the eyes. And when we turn to Jesus, we see, we have light, we have freedom in a brand new way. No wonder Mary Magdalene was near the cross. She had gone from the power of Satan to the power of God, from guilt to forgiveness, from spiritual poverty to spiritual abundance. It was a place of redemption. The nearness to the cross was quite different for the next person. Salome was near the cross. She was, it says, his mother's sister, identified in other Gospels as the mother of James and John, the wife of Zebedee. Salome had once come to Jesus with a very selfish request. Jesus, can my two sons have places of honor and power in your kingdom? Like any mom, she wanted the best for her boys, didn't she? But she had selfishly plunged ahead without paying attention to Jesus, telling them that greatness came by serving. Jesus had then asked if they could drink the cup that he would drink, and she had foolishly answered, yes, they could. Imagine her inner thoughts as she sees the nails as she sees firsthand the lacerated back, as she looks at the crown of thorns and the drops of blood coming from that. Her sons drinking the same cup as Jesus? Did she want to take back her prideful, ambitious answers? Sometimes we can be so selfish in our desires, in our requests to the Lord. Jesus says, if you follow me, you must take up your cross daily. The way to the kingdom is through a cross, through serving others, through dying to self. Did you know that one of the sons, James, was martyred? The other, John, the beloved, the best friend that Jesus had on earth, lived in exile for the majority of his years, ended his days in exile on the Isle of Patmos, not free to travel and to evangelize the way he would have liked. For Salome, she was greatly rebuked standing by the cross. And I wonder if we stand rebuked in some ways because of our selfish desires when we come close to the cross. Jesus, here's my list of requests. Are you willing to drink the cup? Lord, I just want my requests answered with a yes. Are you willing to take up the cross? Salome says to us, my request looks really out of place as I stand near to the cross. Does the cross bring rebuke to your life today? The third person that we want to briefly think about that was standing at the cross was Mary, the mother of Jesus. For her being near the cross, although it was incredibly wrenching in her heart, it was a place of fulfillment. Imagine the cost, the suffering that it took to bring her virgin-born son to his destiny, to be the savior of the world. Did she grasp it? Before all the rest of the New Testament was given to us to interpret all of this, before they got to Sunday and the resurrection, did she grasp the import of what was taking place in this horrific setting? It climaxed the fulfillment of Simeon's prophecy when the infant Jesus was brought to the temple. After prophesying that Jesus would be God's provision of salvation even to the Gentiles, Simeon spoke these words to Mary. Do you remember them? And a sword will pierce your own soul too. How often had Mary been stabbed in the heart because of being the mother of Jesus? The gossip, the shame during her pregnancy, fleeing for his life to Egypt, the mission focus of Jesus as he grew older, which seemed to push her aside in his life. I must be about my father's business. And now the shame of death on the cross and between two thieves, the shame of it, let alone seeing her dear son tortured, hung on the cross. Mary stood there, pierced in her soul. Did she understand that this was not failure? Or was she in the agony of seeing hopes dashed, which the disciples certainly felt at this time? But even from the cross, Jesus recognized her and cared for her. He felt her sorrow. He felt her loneliness. And he had no possessions to give her. Even his clothes had been gambled away by the soldiers. He gave her what he could. He gave her his dearest friend, John, in those immediate days. One who would care for her. One who would bring healing into her heart in the days ahead as together they began to understand his resurrection and his divinity more fully. And the view of the world would change for Mary in those following days. It may be a hard path, this way of the cross. Staying near the cross. But if in our times of pain and confusion we stay near the cross, there will come a time of fulfillment, dear friends. That's the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, the promise of God into your heart. There's a time of greater family. There's a time of healing in and through Jesus and our sure hope of eternal life through this Savior. One more person to look at. John. The beloved, the closest personal friend of Jesus, was near the cross while all the other disciples, Scripture says, stood at a distance. For John, the cross became a place of responsibility. John stands there restored. We don't think much of him fleeing from Jesus and forsaking Jesus the night before. But John came back right to the cross. And in there he was restored and he was forgiven. Have you ever strayed? Have you ever forsaken your commitment to Christ in a moment or in a season of pressure? Friends, understand this through John, that it doesn't matter what we have done. The cross, this sacrifice of Jesus, is the place to go for forgiveness, for deliverance, and for restoration. And Jesus welcomes it. It was this same John who years later, from exile, would write in his first letter, if we confess our sins, which John was doing, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But Jesus not only restored John, he gave him responsibility. John, my friend, you're going to take my place. I need you to watch over my mother. You will be a son to her. And for John, that became the responsibility at the place of the cross. Do you know that near the cross is a place of responsibility for you as well? All believers here are called to take Jesus' place on this earth. In John 20, 21, Jesus says, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. You and I represent Jesus to others. It's a responsibility given to us in being near the cross. To acknowledge the cross is to acknowledge a place of responsibility. Responsibility to love the Lord Jesus because he loved us enough to hang on that cross. To love others as Jesus loved his mother and passed over that love responsibility to John. And as John loved Jesus' mother, to love others as Jesus loved us. Near the cross, friends, when we sing it the next time, will you think about that? A place of redemption to be freed from sin and guilt. A place of rebuke to see our pride and selfishness for what it is. A place of fulfillment where our pain and struggles accomplish the Lord's purposes. And a place of responsibility where we accept the mission that Jesus gives to us. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Father, thank you for that few words that give us a picture of people standing near the cross. And Lord, thank you that we're invited there. Thank you that today in quietness, solemnness, we come to the cross and see afresh the sacrifice of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, but as fresh as the sunshine this morning in our lives. And Father, we pray that as we stand near the cross, we will see only Jesus on that cross. Help us to become almost unconscious of anyone else around us standing near the cross, Lord, but help us to see that it's about how we respond to Jesus. It's not about how someone else responds to Jesus. Oh, Lord, deliver us from that. And this morning, Lord, may our hearts be touched with all the possibility that we learned later the cross of Jesus Christ brought into our lives. Deliverance, freedom, freedom from the power of Satan. Rebuke when we wander away. But Lord, your Holy Spirit speaks into our lives and draws us back to the nearness to the cross that we can line our lives up with your teaching and your will. And Lord, there will be times that when we stay near the cross, our own hearts will be pierced. Even as Mary, the mother of Jesus, experienced the piercing of her soul. Father, may we know that even in that, God in his own way receives glory through our lives. And help us to remember that that's part of the cross that we take up and live by dying to self. And then, Lord, may we be a friend to Jesus, accept from him the responsibility that he passes into our lives, knowing that he'll be there with us to carry that burden of responsibility. Father, thank you. Thank you that we can be near the cross today. In Jesus' name, amen. Linda's going to come and sing for us again.